welcome, good evening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here this Thursday night. This is night number four as we continue our reboot of the Phil Hendry Show. We're very grateful to have you with us, and whether you're a subscriber, whether you are a listener, whether you are a radio station, a sponsor, good to have you with us, guys. And when I say subscriber, we're online at philhendryshow.com. philhendryshow.com, that's where we do a live video cast of our show each and every night, as well as provide a podcast each and every morning. Podcast not only the show we did the night before, but of our something from our classic archives. We do have on the line with us this evening Justin McElroy. He's a 17-year-old high school student, and he lives in northern Los Angeles County. And we wanted to bring him on because he and a group of friends are creating a podcast that is a daily critique of not only their high school and what goes on. And you guys haven't started class yet, I know, Justin, so we'll find out how that's been working over the summer. It's not only a daily critique of the school and how things are going in terms of classes and extracurricular activity, but it also is it's a podcast about the your opinions of teachers, your opinions of the school itself that go beyond the academic life there. So we'll get Justin on the line here, and thanks for joining us, Justin. By the way, our number is 855-500-7445. Justin, you there? Justin McElroy?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay, you're going to have to speak up a little bit. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having us on, Mr. Henry.
Okay, and we're glad that you're here. The podcast that you have about your school, first of all, what's the podcast called?
Well, it's just called The Truth About Canyon, The Truth About L.A. Canyon High, and we started it right after the end of my sophomore year in June, and it's been going pretty strong now for, you know, the last couple of months.
Is this available on iTunes and the usual places?
Yeah, I think it is. I know you can get the RSS feed for it, and listen to it, and have it downloaded to your device, and also on iTunes.
And why did you start the podcast?
Well, we started the podcast because, first of all, podcasts are really what people who are, I guess, more interested in what's, you know, happening in the news and everything, and what's going on. I'm not saying they don't listen to talk radio or anything, but most of the people that I know, and probably most people that are more informed about what's going on, are going on a podcast.
Well, it's not like you guys had a choice to do a radio show.
I'm sorry?
It's not like a choice. Did you guys have the opportunity to do a radio show, or did you not?
Oh, well, actually, the school has a radio station that we could have broadcasted on, but we didn't because it doesn't reach that far, you know. I mean, the podcast gets all over the world, pretty much.
And how many people do you think access your podcast as opposed to if your radio, the school has a radio station, and what's the radius?
The what?
What is the broadcast radius for the radio station at the school?
It's about, probably not more than about 5 miles.
Okay, so that is very limited reach. And your podcast, you put it on an RSS feed, it's on one of the podcast platforms, and as you say, you're getting around the world. Do you know how many people, like in the United States, listen to podcasts?
We heard a figure of, right now, around 45 million people.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's way better than being on a radio station, and it's better than being on, on the radio and everything. So the reason why we came on your show is because your producer pretty much, you know, begged us to come on.
Whoa, hold on. Hold on for a minute. My producer, Mr. Dickman, you're saying begged you, or he just called you several times? Because I know he made the phone call several times to have you come on the show.
I didn't beg him.
Well, yeah, you did, because when you came on with me on the phone today, you go, please, please come on our show, please. Didn't you do that?
Yeah, I'm not begging.
It sounds like begging to me.
What?
Please come on our show. What did he say to you?
Well, he's saying they wanted to have us on to talk about podcast because he said, well, are you going to rip into radio? And I go, not really, but he said it'd be good if you did.
No, I didn't.
Hold on for a minute. He said what?
He said, if you'd rip into radio, and I said, well, we can, because...
Okay, bud. All right. So my producer encouraged you to rip into radio. For what reason?
Well, because we don't really think that... I didn't want to do your show because there's... Why? When there's 40 million people listening to the podcast, you know, you don't really... Radio is not really happening anymore. And I think... In a lot of ways, that was our message. You know, I mean, what I said to your producer, I go, well, we're doing a podcast, and we're way better than radio, and you know, why do I even want to do it?
So you came on this program tonight then, Justin, I think it's safe to say, as a mercy mission, is that it?
Well, it isn't just your show, it's just any radio show. If we want to contact people, see, the whole thing, Mr. Henry...
So if you went on the Rush Limbaugh show, if you went on the Sean Hannity show, that would all be doing them a favor.
Well, yeah, pretty much, because not anybody, more people who are, like, in movies and more television stars and more, like, you know, movie directors and people that are important to have listened to what you're saying are listening to podcasts, and they're not really listening to the radio no more.
All right, I don't know what kind of research you're looking at. It's very likely that there's been perhaps some shift in listening habits. I don't know if they're all the people have gone away from listening to radio.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying people aren't listening to radio. I'm just saying that the people that are the most important ones are listening to podcasts instead of radio.
All right, but the most important ones, you're saying, are movie directors, actors. I mean, that would be important if I was in show business, wouldn't it?
Well, no, I mean, these are people that are the ones who you want to have listen to your opinion, because then they repeat the opinion on their TV show or in their movie.
So you want to influence people that have a voice culturally?
Well, yes, sir. I mean, that's the only reason to have... Those would be the best listeners.
And what about the average person, the people listening to this show right now, the people that don't have radio shows, that don't have a voice? What about them?
I mean, I care about everybody, and we want people to be free, but if you're at, I'm not sure I know what you're asking.
I'm asking you, if you want to broadcast, you want a podcast to movie directors and movie stars, so you do a podcast, what about the people listening to our radio show right now who are not movie directors, who are not movie stars, who are not in show business?
Well, I mean, they are not in a position to do me any good, because they don't have any real voice, and they don't really... It's very tough to kind of put my finger on it.
All right, well, hold on, and we'll try and get all of our collective fingers on that. We're talking to Justin McElroy, who believes that he would rather be podcasting the effort that he is currently undertaking at his local radio station, or the effort he's currently undertaking with his friends is not a broadcast at a radio station. He's podcasting, because podcasts... get to people that matter. And when I asked him, well, what about people that are listening to the radio right now, he said, well, they can't, they're not in a position to do me any good. All right, this is the Phil Henry Show. It's another night and another strange conversation. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Be right back at philhenryshow.com. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night here till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is a news, talk, and entertainment show that, with an emphasis on entertainment, that knows what it's talking about. And we also have with us tonight Justin McElroy, a high school student from L.A. Canyon High School in northern L.A. County, as we discuss with him a topic I think is of interest. Certainly to a lot of, broadcasters, but I think ultimately to people that enjoy the podcast and the radio broadcast. You know, there is a media revolution that has been ongoing now for a number of years. We've talked about it on our show, and that is people are accessing a different platforms of communication, information, entertainment. In other words, it's not just the radio and TV anymore. You guys know we have as well the internet. We have the podcast. We have Wi-Fi. We have Hulu. We have Netflix. It's ever multiplying, and it is multifaceted. And with us is a young man from a high school in Los Angeles County who is podcasting along with his friends about their school, LA Canyon High. And the thing that is interesting to me, Justin, is that you are podcasting. And in a moment, we've got Dad Markham from the National Association of Broadcasters who called in, and he wants to, take issue with some of the things you're saying.
I'm sorry?
There's a gentleman from the National, is he from the NAB, bud? From the National Association of Broadcasters who wants to take some exception to what you're saying.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that radio is, I don't know anybody that really listens to the radio in any, I mean, nobody that is young and is a part of the ongoing vital movement of America is really listening to the radio anymore as much as the podcasts.
And what do you mean by the vital movement of America?
Well, I mean like anybody that is not old and is not, I guess, just anybody that's not old and...
Okay, so young vital people are podcasting and old decrepit?
Well, I mean, people that are old and have given up wanting to live. I mean, you know, it's hard to describe.
So, all right, so you're basically saying anybody listen, you're my audience, that's what you're talking about. My audience has given up and doesn't want to live.
I think that that's pretty much, and I don't mean that they want to commit suicide, but I think that people that listen to the radio are mostly people that have decided that their time is done and they're waiting just for nature to take them out.
All right, Dad Markham is joining us from Salt Lake City. Dad is one of the the information I have here, Dad, is that you were one of the executives with the National Association of Broadcasters. Is that right?
No, Phil, that's not correct at all. I'm not a member of the National Association of Broadcasters at all. I am a broadcaster. I'm a member of the NAB. I don't represent the NAB, but I did say to your call screener that I was a member broadcaster, and I think I speak for a lot of broadcasters, and that's why I wanted to come on your program.
All right, that's fair enough.
Can I just ask a question?
Yes, young man, go ahead.
I mean, of the host?
Yeah.
So this guy... I don't mean to talk about you, sir, but this guy's not in...
I'm not in any official capacity, young man, no.
Okay.
First of all, Phil, thank you for this forum and this topic. I think it's important. Young man, your name is Justin, correct?
Yes, sir.
Young man, there are a great many of us who put an awful lot of money into broadcasting, owning radio stations, owning syndication companies, like the one that Mr. Henry is broadcasting on currently, and putting an awful lot of money into the infrastructure of radio. And when we hear someone come on a radio station, as you are, you're getting your message out on a radio station. You're aware of that, right?
Well, yes, I am, but I also made the point that the producer of this show begged me to come on.
I don't think that we've made that point.
I didn't hear anyone say you were begged. I heard you say that it sounded like someone begged you.
Well, when the guy called up, Mr. Dignan said, please, please, oh, please.
Well, I can assure you that I find that hard to believe, but let's just say that that happened. Maybe they had a late-minute cancellation or something. Maybe they had a problem scheduling guests or something.
No, he said, please, you know, they couldn't get no guests.
Oh, no.
I mean, I could have gotten it wrong.
It doesn't sound like anything that any professional operation would do.
No, that's got to be wrong. Never would we ever beg anybody because we can't get, quote, no guests. I mean, we're perfectly capable. We wanted to talk to you because of the podcast versus broadcast situation. So go ahead, Dad.
Thank you, Phil. The situation as it exists in your mind, and I'm not saying that your reality, young man, is wrong, but your belief is that radio is only listened to, as you put it, by individuals that are ready to give up on life, that are waving the white flag of surrender. Is that correct?
It seems like, yes, sir, the people that are listening to radio are frightened to use new technologies like the podcast.
And where do you get this idea?
Because no one I know listens to it, and also because when you listen to it, I just assume that that's the case because podcast.
So you don't know for a fact.
Yes, you don't know for a fact, do you?
What? I didn't hear what.
Yeah, all right, let me just ask this.
Go ahead, Phil.
Can I say just one thing, Mr. Dad?
My name is Dad Markham.
Okay, I don't know. Is that your name is Dad?
Yes, that's correct.
Mr. Henry was. I'd rather Mr. Henry explain it than you, only because I can understand him.
Well, whatever you'd like, young man, but the point I'm trying to make here is that you are making assumptions about a radio listening audience that may very well be wrong, because I don't know exactly what your database is. I don't know what your metrics are. What are you looking at exactly?
It's a good question. How do you come to the conclusion that radio listeners are waiting for death while podcasters are people that are about the future?
Well, I mean, it seems obvious that podcasting is about the future.
Okay. But what's that got to do with radio?
Well, it just seems to me that when you talk about radio, like, for instance, the only people that I know that listen to radio at our school at Canyon High are the teachers. None of the students do.
You're telling me that there are no teens listening to radio?
No, not anybody that we know.
Well, what about the stations that have a lot of teenage, supposed 12-plus listeners, like the contemporary hit stations?
Well, I don't know what...
Well, like here in Los Angeles, Kiss FM...
Right, and I'm in the city of Philadelphia right now, Phil, and the hit station here in Philadelphia, I don't know which one it is, but we do have a hit station.
Well, see, that proves right there you don't even know what the station is, because you're ready for death.
I can assure you I'm not ready for death, all right?
Why do you keep saying ready for death?
Because that's the slogan that we use when we talk about people that are listening to the radio as opposed to... I mean, I don't know, I'm just saying that when I came on the show tonight, I was less excited about it being on this show than if I was on a podcast. And so if what you're asking me is how come we're doing a podcast instead of radio, it's because I want to talk to people that want to live and want to live beyond tomorrow.
I don't know where you got the idea that because...
excuse me, who's interviewing me, Mr. Henry or you?
I'm speaking to you. I called in.
Well, I'd like to talk to Mr. Henry.
He's the caller, okay?
Yeah, I know, but you say you were in the NAB and you lied about that.
I didn't lie about being in the NAB, young man. I was told by the person that answered the call, he asked me if I was in the NAB. I said I'm a member. I was not in the NAB executive board, all right? And I'm sorry if you don't want to talk to me. I'm not trying to interview you. I'm simply trying to determine why you think that anyone that listens to the radio is wishing death upon themselves.
I didn't say wishing death. I just said they're expecting death.
Anybody that listens to the radio is expecting death.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same as people who read newspapers. Those are people that are fully expecting death.
And what does that mean, expecting death?
Well, it means within the next, let's say year, they know they'll die because there's no hope with dope, like what they used to say.
No hope with dope.
Yeah.
All right, hold the line as we talk with Justin McElroy. Dad Markham has called in. He's a station owner and a member of the National Association of Broadcasters. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500. Is that right? Yeah. I'm having to double-check this number because that 855 blows me away, man. It's just like I've never experienced anything like that before. Anyway, 855-500-7445. Here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're also online at philhenryshow.com, and we want you to take advantage of the podcasts that we have over there, as a matter of fact, daily podcasts, as well as the classic and archival and daily podcasts of the radio show, plus 5,000 hours of archived radio. With Justin McElroy from L.A. Canyon High School... talking about how he is podcasting because he just doesn't consider radio to be a factor at all. People that listen to the radio are waiting for death. He's basically talking about you guys right now. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Our guest here this evening is Justin McElroy, a high school junior, I think soon to be a junior, from L.A. Canyon High School, and a variety of callers. We still have on the line here Dad Markham from... Dad is the owner of, I know, a station group in the West. I forget the name of it. Is it Kursky? Yeah, Kursky Broadcasting. Or Markham. It sounds like it makes sense. Markham Broadcasting, and he owns a number of stations. And really, the opinion here has been put forward that radio listening is for people that have given up on life. I guess what we can say, to be a little bit respectful here, Justin, is that it's not... Radio listening is, you, in your opinion and in the opinion of your friends, is over.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we've noticed when we go and try to do radio shows with some of the different shows that are on, and the people are, it's something that I don't want to do, and my mom has told me I have to.
This is Dad Markham again. I'm still here on the phone. Is that all right, Phil?
Okay, yeah.
Can I ask you, why is your name Dad?
That's a nickname, because I was, and it's a fair question, it's a nickname that my employees gave me because I seem to be father confessor to a lot of people that worked for me. I came up in broadcasting at a time when there were people who had a lot of personal problems.
Well, I mean, I didn't ask for your life story, you know.
Well, I'll tell you something, young man.
That's pretty rude, Justin, if you don't mind. He was answering your question.
I'm sorry, but I just didn't expect that I'd get a big, long speech, you know.
You know, young man, there's an awful lot that you have to learn. First of all, to say that people that listen to the radio are waiting and expecting death, I don't know what that means.
No, I know that, but I mean, it's not really anything like... I wanted to talk about the dog food recall, which is what I told about when I called, or when the producer called me.
The dog food recall?
Yeah, you want to talk about they called up the dog food.
I didn't say that, man. I'd say they called up dog food.
You mean they recalled some dog food?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've recalled dog food, Mr. Henry, on the IAMS. I think it's called IAMS. IAMS dog food.
Phil, can I finish the point that I was trying to make?
Go ahead.
Because I'm not here to talk about dog food. I'm here to defend an industry that you've maligned by saying that anyone that works in it or listens to it is simply waiting for death. I believe that we're still a very vital industry, and I think that given the proper support from our listeners, such as yourself, instead of you giving over to the podcasting business, you might give us the proper support.
Well, I mean, I just don't, you know, why. I mean, I don't feel like it because, like I said, we're more about, you know, on-demand listening, and you can do with a podcast.
All right.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Dad.
Well, can I stay on the line and act as a... I don't mean to infringe on your program, Phil, I really don't, but I think that having my voice will mitigate, I think, some of the things he's saying. So can I act as a commentator?
Mr. Henry, can you...
Dad, I would rather you not.
Well, Mr. Henry, I think this guy, he bothers me. I feel that there is some interest from him having to do with my, you know, my...
Your what?
Well, sir, you know that you called because you have an interest in my, you know, my bottom.
I'm going to tell you something right now.
All right, well, I don't want to hear any of that. You understand?
I'm going to tell you something right now.
Hold on. Do you understand that, Justin?
I'm sorry, but I mean, I sense that I get the vibe.
You're getting the vibe from... What vibe are you getting from me? I'm talking, and I've been speaking of broadcasting, and I said nothing about sex or anything like that.
Well, I just got a definite vibe from you that you're all hanging on the phone and you don't want to hang up. And you're all, hey, let me talk.
What?
Okay, I'm going to let you go, Dad, all right?
So what you're doing is you're punishing me because this young man...
No, I don't mean to punish you at all. Let's just continue talking to him, taking other calls, you know.
Yes, but now the impression is left with your listeners that I'm hanging around like some dirty old man. I will tell you, Phil, you're allowing this young man...
You know, Mr. Henry, I don't have to be... If you want to talk to this guy, I mean, he's... But he definitely has given me a vibe like... It's like a whole bot... I don't know how this... It's just...
Yeah, what is it? Are you getting a bottom vibe?
Well, you said it, you know.
Okay, look, Dad, I will tell my audience right now, there's nothing you have said, nothing you've done, nothing wrong. Justin, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Well, I'm ashamed of having feelings. That's what my mom's always telling me.
Oh, look at this. Now he's going to try and get your... Justin, I'm very used to young people trying to emotionally manipulate me.
Why? Because you're trying to get to their into their piece?
I'm trying to get into their what?
All right, look, Dad, I will talk to you later, okay?
Yeah, sure.
That is a... Are you okay?
Yeah.
Your mother says what?
My mom's always telling me how to feel, and when I went to the child psychologist that she sent me to, he said to me, your mother should not tell you how to feel. And so then my mom and dad went and talked to him, and they said, you told our son what? And he said, Mr. and Mrs. McElroy, you can't tell your son how to feel. He's going to feel the way he feels. And they're all, oh, yeah, well, you're not doing our son any good at all. And then they fired him. And now I got to go to some other child psychologist who is just not, he I don't like him at all. And he's old and stupid.
Okay, I'm sorry that you're having these problems at home. Do you want us to let you go?
No, because I come on here to talk about our podcast and not to be picked up on by some guy that gives me a bottom vibe. And
that gentleman did nothing, and I really want to again say to my audience, Dad Markham, who I don't know who he is. I've never heard of him, but he called in.
Well, then how do you know he owns radio stations?
I mean, I know the name, and I know the stations. But I don't, I've never talked to him.
What's with the name Dad?
Will you let me finish, kid? I don't know what the name Dad is about. I don't know why. He just told you. He said it's because he was like a father confessor. I don't know. We're talking here with Justin McElroy. Tell me about the dog food recall. Let's just get to that.
The dog food recall, Mr. Henry, that we did a podcast about today, and we're going to follow up with another podcast about it tomorrow. Is basically this, that they're recalling the podcasting, and
you hold on for a minute, because I'm hearing some snorting sound. Bud, are you getting that?
Yeah, we are getting a snort sound.
I'm what?
You're snorting?
Oh, no, I'm blowing my nose. The recall of the dog food is...
Well, you're still doing it.
Is I'm sorry?
Nothing. Go ahead.
The recall of the dog food is because of the found vermin in it and worms and different, you know, things that a dog is not supposed to eat. It's our feeling that the... I guess you could say there's so many hungry people in the world that recalling dog food seems like a very much of an obscenity, and that we should make sure that we have people fed before we indulge in the fantasies and the needs of a dog or dog owners. And in our podcast tomorrow, we're going to talk to Pete Jeffries, who interviewed a family that they almost, I mean, literally, they almost went into malnutrition trying to feed, you know, their dogs. And
well, that's a little stupid.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's the way a lot of people are, you know. And if you have parents that have little kids, and the kids are going hungry, so the dogs...
Well, who's doing... I mean, look, we do have Child Protective Services and agencies that protect children against this kind of bad parenting. But is your issue that children are going hungry?
Our issue is simply this, that as long as we've got hungry people in America... dog food recalls are really stupid, and we're calling on the food and or I guess it's the Food and Drug Administration.
Yeah.
I mean, we're calling on them to suspend the dog food.
And so you're saying dogs will eat how?
I mean, you can feed dogs anyway. You can feed dogs. First of all, dogs became man's best friend when they were eaten in a garbage dump. You know, there's a song by Charles Manson that goes, "Eat it in my garbage dump." Have you ever heard that song, Mr. Henry?
Yes, I have.
Well, in that song pretty much is how dogs and humans came about. And
I know that dogs followed men as we were hunter-gatherers and we would throw our garbage, and wolves.
The what?
The wolves would gather at the garbage dumps of humans. Female wolves specifically, if they were pregnant.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm talking about dogs.
Dogs come from wolves. Dogs originated from the wolf. And the theory is that dogs followed bands of hunter-gatherer men, and as humans threw their garbage into these piles, these wolves would come around and eat from it, and gradually man and wolf became familiar with each other.
What?
Okay, hold on for a minute. What am I doing talking to this kid? He's talking about dog food and how they shouldn't have a recall of dog food because there's hungry people, and let's forget about that, and let's just make sure people are fed and let the dogs get worms and vermin. I don't know. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show talking with Justin McElroy from L.A. Canyon High School about the podcasting that they're doing. So far, we've heard him say that podcasting is where it's at because radio is for people who are waiting to die. Now we're hearing about a podcast he's doing on a dog food recall. They are against it because they feel that, you know, who cares about dogs and their health? It's all about humans. That's not a bad idea. Let's see what else he's got coming up. When we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our number 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Final few seconds here with Justin McElroy, a senior at L.A. Canyon High School, as we discuss with him his new podcast that he, along with the other students, have started. The podcast, not the use of the radio station there at the school, but the podcast, which has so far exposed the dating habits of teachers. It's talked about the inside scoop on what's happening in the lives of the people in the administration. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you've been doing there that's got a few people upset.
Well, I mean, that's what the nature of being a journalist is, Mr. Henry. You got to dig into, you know, everything and everything that people are doing, you know, and
But what about the teachers up there that are finding this to be offensive and are threatening lawsuit?
Well, they can't sue because we don't use their real names. We're just saying, you know, what teacher is, you know, teaching, like, you know, geometry, but they can't, you know, because of the First Amendment and everything.
I mean, so in other words, I happen to know all about slander and libel laws, and I know that if a person can be identified, even if you don't say their name.
No, we know all about that, Mr. Henry, you know. We know all about it.
Oh, okay. Well, excuse me. You know, Margaret?
Yes, Justin, this is Margaret Gray. I'm a professional journalist. All right?
Yeah.
And before you go, yeah, understand that I've been down this road before many times. I know all about journalism. I've been sued.
What for?
What?
What did you get sued for?
I have been sued. I've been the subject of lawsuits. I don't need to go into that.
Well, just to anticipate, have you been sued for libel?
No, I have not, and I don't want to get into what I've been sued for. What I'm trying to tell the young man is I've been sued.
Well, why can't you say what it's for?
Because it's potential. It's really none of your business. What I am asking you is this. Do you consider the feelings of these people before you... First of all, I listened to one of your podcasts. You're talking about a relationship between a female member of the staff and a male member of the staff, the teaching staff, and who was sleeping at whose house and what time they left the house. Are you spying on these people?
Well, we're being reporters, Miss Gray. I mean, I'm sure you understand You claim to be a reporter.
No, I don't claim to be a reporter. I am a reporter.
You're a reporter?
I said reporter.
Okay, then you know that you hang around people's, you know, houses and you're looking through their garbage dump. And
I don't look through anyone's garbage dump, son. And I heard what you said about the Charles Manson song, Looking in the Garbage Dump. I know that song very well. I knew Charles Manson. Okay?
Yeah. I mean, you're claiming you knew Charles Manson.
Yeah, yes. I interviewed him at the courthouse when he was on trial.
Okay, and you know the song, Looking in My Garbage Dump. Everybody's looking through my garbage dump.
Yeah, I know the song, and I don't need you to sing it. It's a terribly distressing song written by a sociopath, and I don't think it's anything to model your journalistic career after.
Well, I mean, we're doing a podcast that a lot of people are downloading, and people like it, and you, I mean, I've never heard of you.
Oh, is that, well, I've never heard of you.
Well, I've never heard of you.
A lot of people have heard of me, but I've never heard of you.
Well, I've never heard of you.
All right, fine. You've never heard of each other.
I don't, you know.
All right, Margaret, I mean, you know, we're talking about two different mediums here. We're talking about podcast as opposed to broadcast. We're talking about new media, digital, as opposed to the old media, which is analog and newspaper and that kind of thing. We don't mean to disrespect, although you did at the very beginning say that anybody that listens to the radio has given up on life.
Mr. Henry.
You're talking to my listeners right now. You realize that?
Yeah, I know that.
And what about people that tuned in to listen to you?
None of my friends are tuning in. They're all gonna we'll be podcasting about it. You can be assured of that.
You're gonna be podcasting about being on my show?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Well, I'm not gonna give you no cheap publicity or anything.
I don't need any cheap publicity, okay? I'm just saying that if you're gonna talk about being on the show.
Well, I'm gonna talk about that I was on a show. I'm not gonna say which one.
Yeah, you're gonna say the Phil Henry show.
No, I'm not.
Okay, fine. I don't give a damn what you say. But the point that I'm trying to make here is you're using this medium. Now, you were talking to us about dog food being recalled. You don't like the idea of dog food, of us wasting any time on dog food.
No, I don't think we should. And
okay, we're well past that. Now I want to ask you about this gossip thing that you do on your podcast. You're hanging around people's, as you said, garbage cans.
Well, I mean, I said, if you're going to be a journalist, you've got to hang around a guy's, you've got to hang around a woman's can, her can, or not her can, but you're around her garbage can. And that's what we do.
All right, so I want to ask them, these are teachers of yours, and you're hanging around their houses, what, all night?
We park at a respectful distance, and we have, we don't take pictures, although we do use telephoto lenses to identify who the individual is.
All right, so you're spying on your teachers?
No, sir, Mr. Henry, we're not, because we're you know...
Hold on, what, Margaret?
Yes, you are spying if you're taking pictures of them.
I just got done saying, ma'am, that no, we're not.
Well, you said you use a telephoto lens.
Yeah, but we're not snapping the picture. We're using it to focus in and to scope in on bits of clothing, on areas of, for instance, a woman, if she's leaving a man's apartment or home, we will go in on a zipper to see if it's zipped up, you know, and...
Okay, so, and if it's not zipped up, this means what, that she's been having an affair with the guy?
I would say yes, sir.
And what is this doing for you?
Ma'am, it's teaching us a journalism, about the journalism, and I'll tell you something else, Mrs.
Gray.
Gray,
you know, I got, this is very disrespectful to me. He doesn't know who I am.
All right.
Well, no, I don't know who you are, ma'am. Ma'am?
She has left the room. Go ahead.
God, that was chicken.
No, it isn't. I'm using the toilet.
Well, fine. I mean, I'm just saying, Mr. Henry, that we are around, we're
slow down.
We're around our teachers' houses. We are looking in to see if they are for to have the sex with each other, and we report on it. We do not use no names, and we do not use no, you know, no department that they're in.
So nobody will recognize who they are.
Nobody. I mean, maybe and maybe not. Mostly, I don't think they do. And that's good for, you know, we don't want to embarrass nobody, but we do want people to know, especially the students, that the teachers at the school are having, you know, intercourse. And
okay, all right, fine. You know, you don't have to be that graphic. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay, see, that's actionable. I mean, all of the stuff you're saying is potentially actionable, but even if you don't mention names and you say, and these two teachers, that's actionable from the school, you know?
Well,
I mean, we'll see how that goes as we progress along. We thank you very much, Justin. We got to take a break. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show. Justin McElroy from L.A. Canyon High School and his gossip podcast. That is, it's all the rage with the students. The teachers are not all that crazy about it. They're sitting in cars and spying on people. The world famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Back with more right after this. Don't forget philhenryshow.com for podcasts of tonight's show as well as our archival podcasts. Welcome back here. That is the world-famous Phil Henry Show for our second hour, and we have coming up this hour Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier and also Larry Grover of the Conservatives of Kern County, and these guys are going to be debating Bradley Manning and a couple of the things that have come up on the Bradley Manning radar, this case, as you know. Which has been one of extremely emotional debate, one of extremely emotional and contentious and ideologic, territorial sort of debate. And with Bradley Manning leaking, if you want to call it leaking, documents to this guy Assange and WikiLeaks, taking on as well this discussion of patriotism. He's a member of the military. He's a member of the United States Army. And now, as of yesterday or the day before, we have a photograph, and you can go to our website, philhenryshow.com, a photograph of Bradley Manning dressed as a woman. Now, I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. I don't. It's nothing that I'm... I can't... If somebody asked me, for instance, and this is a good question... Well, what do you think of a man dressed as a woman going in and teaching kids in a school? I guess it's cool. I don't know. You know, it has to do with the educating, obviously, young people as to the differences in people. But I'm not willing to debate that right now. I just want to talk about what I think was a case of terrible treachery on the part of Bradley Manning. Terrible. Yes, I would say a traitorous act, especially when you consider that this is a member of the U.S. military, and he did apologize to the court, I believe it was yesterday, saying that he didn't mean to hurt the country, that he was sorry for what he did, he was sorry for how he might have hurt people, and to sort of bring all of this into perspective for us. Now, I've just given my opinion, and I know that Doug Danger is joining us from the Orange County Courier. I know you want to give an opinion too, Doug. Although you're a writer, you're a journalist as well. So why don't you go ahead and report and then give us your take on it?
Oh, Phil, I'm happy to do that. I am a gay man and a gay... First of all, I want to let people know I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. So when you talk about Bradley Manning, I don't even know if Bradley Manning is gay, because you're talking about cross-dressing. That does not necessarily mean gay man, and that does not necessarily mean... certainly, they have rescinded the ban on gays in the military, so we don't have a problem there. The problem comes in, I think, for some people, Phil, especially the conservatives that tried to make hay while the sun shines. See, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I could see this before it even happened. I knew that a lot of the conservatives that hitched their wagon to the Bradley Manning star, thinking that it was going to be a big black eye for Obama, I think that a lot of them now are finding themselves, as the saying goes, they're turning around and looking in the bowl before they pull a chain, you know.
What does that mean, exactly?
Well, I mean, I think it's embarrassing. I think it's embarrassing for any member of the conservative movement to be championing a guy who has shown A lot of people think this guy is showing a mental instability as well as a something that can't taste very good in the mouths of conservatives, and that is a guy that dresses as a woman. You know, to them, that means gay.
Let me ask you a question here. Mental stability, let's talk about that. That's the far more important question here. Why does it necessarily mean that he is not mentally stable if he's dressed as a woman?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. It ain't that he's not mentally stable so much as reliable, and whether this is an individual who can be trusted with whatever secrets you may entrust to a member of the U.S. military at his rank, at his grade. But when you are a cross-dresser, you are already involved in a lifestyle. And I'm telling you this as a gay man, as a gay journalist, because I've seen, obviously, there's a lot of cross-dressers in the gay community, and there's a lot of cross-dressers in the straight community. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I don't cross-dress, but I got money, and I'll tell you right now, I'll look anybody eyeball to eyeball, and I'll tell you right now, I can look a guy in the eye, and I know whether that guy dresses up as a woman when the sun goes down and the dog's fed and the cat's in and his wife's in bed. I can tell you right now, eyeball to eyeball, whether that guy gets himself into a skirt with a handbag and goes out and pretends, you know, I don't understand it myself.
And as a gay man and as a gay journalist, as you say, you've been around a lot of that.
Well, yeah, I have, but hold on just for a minute here, Phil, because I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. You're saying, oh, well, you're gay, so that means you've been around a lot of cross-dressers. I'm telling you right now that cross-dressing is something that goes on in the straight community just as much. And
no, I understand that. That's a very good point. You're right. I guess I was thinking more in terms of drag queens, you know.
Well, yeah, that's a different. I don't know the story with Bradley Manning, what his particular orientation is when it comes to that. I'm assuming he's gay, and the reason why I'm assuming he's gay is because he has, to me, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and what I call it is the nervous gay. He looks like a nervous gay, and
what does that mean, nervous gay?
Well, he's a little short man in a big man's profession, the military. He's a little short man wearing a beret and sort of, you know, swishing around there in the army. I don't know what he's doing, but he's certainly not he doesn't look to me like any G.I. Joe. I'll put it to you that way.
We're talking with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier about Bradley Manning and the photograph released yesterday of Bradley Manning. In women's clothing, it looks like a woman's wig, makeup. We have the picture on our homepage. It's a black and white shot.
Yeah, it looks like it was what they call a selfie. You know, it was taken by
Mr. Manning.
It was a selfie. Yeah, so that means it was
taken by him.
Yeah, it was taken by him. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I look at that, and the reason why I say that I'm gay and that I'm a gay journalist is because I look at that and I say to myself, I can look at a lot of news stories, Phil, and I can suss them out and I can get right to the point because of the fact that I'm gay. And the reason why that helps me is because I've been through so much discrimination that you learn how to deal with all the bull, right?
All right, but getting back to my question, what does the cross-dressing thing have to do with mental stability? That's what someone was proffering, I believe, from the defense side.
Well, here's the thing. If you are in the military and you have a job that is a sensitive job in terms of security, and at night you're dressed as a woman, you're already in a compromised position. You have put yourself in a compromise. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Now, if it was still against the rules of the military to be gay, I would be in a compromised position because I'm gay, and I go out at night and I party and I do whatever, and I don't hide it, and I sure as hell am not. Even if I was in the military and they said, "Are you gay?" I'd say, "You better believe I'm gay." Who wants to know?
And well, wait a minute. You're standing there in a uniform.
Yeah, if I was in the military, yeah.
And you would say to someone, if this was the old days.
Yeah, it was the old days.
Okay, I'm gay.
If I'm standing there in a military uniform, and said, "Hey, Danger, something about you." And I've had a lot of them, you know, "Hey, something about you smells gay." I'd say, "Well, take another sniff, man, because I'm as gay. I'm gay, all right?" And I have known that I'll go into a bar and I'll walk up to God and say, "You know I'm gay, right? You know I'm gay?" And why do I do that? Because I'm not going to hide it.
Yeah, but how would you stay in the military?
I wasn't in the military. I'm just saying if I was.
Yeah, well, how would you expect to stay in the military?
I guess I'd be out, you know. But no way do I stand there, even if I was a four-star general. I could stand there as a four-star general in the Pentagon, Phil.
Well.
No, and someone says to me, General Danger, are you gay? Yeah. What about it?
We're talking to Doug Danger, and we're talking about Bradley Manning, and we're discussing the cross-dressing picture of Bradley Manning. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445 here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And the discussion, we're going to get around to why this means a compromising of Bradley Manning's mental health. What does this say to the conservatives that were supporting Bradley Manning against President Obama? You're supporting a cross-dresser. Does that matter at all? Does that mean anything? It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and back with more from Doug Danger and Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County coming up. And it's the Phil Henry Show. Welcome back. Here we have Doug Danger on the line with us from the Orange County Courier. Larry Grover is going to join us as well as we discuss the Bradley Manning case. And we were discussing Bradley Manning to some extent last night, Doug, having to do with some other aspect of it, I forget. Or maybe we did. Yeah, I think Dean Wheeler was on discussing Bradley Manning, was basically taking on the same, I think, the same philosophy or the same point of view that you are, which is it's a big black eye for conservatives considering the fact that they were supporting this guy, you know, against President Obama, like this guy was some kind of standard bearer, you know?
Well, look, you know, the ideology, I think you said it at the beginning, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and so I was able to pinpoint this, I was able to spotlight this, Phil, very early on. And that is that I knew when this became evident, I knew that a lot of conservatives were going to grab a hold of Bradley Manning, gay or not gay, cross-dresser or not cross-dresser.
Do you think they knew that about him?
I don't know. You could take one look at Bradley Manning, you knew there was something off with that guy. I don't care. If you got any ability to read people at all, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, I feel that I have a superior ability because of the fact that I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but I when I look at Bradley Manning, and I took one long look at him, and I said, man, that guy's got, I don't want to say.
Well, what did you say?
Well, I said, that guy's got queer written all over him. And,
okay, let's not use that word.
Well, you're asking me to use a word. We use that word in the gay community a lot. You know,
I understand, but I don't want the perception being that we're starting to relaxing into a kind of a slang around here that to me sounds, it doesn't sound very dignified. Doug Danger is on the line with us here from the from Culver City, California, from his home in Culver City. Doug is Doug Danger, Larry Grover. I'm sorry, Larry is with us from his home in Culver City. And Larry, you there?
Yeah, Phil, I'm right here.
Okay, Larry. We're talking here with Doug about the Bradley Manning case. He came right out and said that Bradley Manning is a black eye for the conservative movement. How say you?
Well, you took me aback there a little bit with the how say you. Well, I would rather you not say that. That's a Bill O'Reillyism.
I did it as a joke.
Well, I think that's very convenient to say it's a joke, but it sounded to me like you were trying to.
Yeah, it sounds like you're immolating him, you know, or not immolate, that's being set on fire, but
it sounded like he was trying to emulate.
No, I was doing it as a joke. I was doing it as a bit of a little sort of inside joke. All right, I apologize. I won't do that again. Larry, do you feel that this cross-dressing discovered on Bradley Manning hurts the conservative support of him?
I think that, first of all, you say the conservative support of him. I can tell you the conservatives of Kern County looked at Bradley Manning as just another casualty of the disaster of the Obama administration.
That's not what you wrote.
Excuse me?
This is Doug Danger. That's not what you wrote, sir.
Well, what I wrote was, if you remember, I wrote that Bradley Manning was a great American, and I do believe he was a great American, and I wrote that the Obama administration was persecuting him. I did write that. What's your point?
Well, my point is, if you don't mind, Phil.
Go ahead.
My point is that turns the whole thing. Are you trying to say that he's just another sort of a symptom of the disaster of the Obama administration? That shows that you're not telling the truth, because you wrote that, like the guy's some big hero. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm saying to you that you're raising up as a hero a guy in a dress and a wig.
No. I'm not raising, hero. Where do you get that word?
I come from the South. Excuse me. You're raising up as a hero.
All right. Well, no, we're not raising up a guy in a dress and a wig.
Well, yes, if you were raising him up as a hero, a guy that was going against the Obama administration's misuse, if you will, of the Patriot Act, or the Obama administration's misuse of the Constitution, or its selective enforcement of the law, whatever it was, how do you feel now?
I feel great. I don't think that there has been any... look, you're talking about an article that I wrote in our newspaper a few months ago, where I said that Bradley Manning,
I can quote it for you. You said that Bradley Manning is almost a god among men, for what he has done for this country. And I'm just asking you, I think Mr. Henry's asked the same thing. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay?
Yeah, I know you're a gay man and a gay journalist, sir. I've heard you say that a number of times.
Well, I'm a gay man, all right. But you're the guy that's holding up as a god among men a guy that puts on lipstick.
You know something? I don't believe... What I said was...
What does that mean, a god among men?
I think he...
Phil, I'll tell you right now what it means.
I can tell Mr. Henry what it means. When I wrote that, I did not know at that time that Bradley Manning dressed the way that he did, chose his relaxations the way that he did.
What if you knew then... that he did. What if you knew going in, before the trial, before anything else, other than the fact that he leaked all this information, but you also knew he was a cross-dresser, what would you say then?
Huh? What does that mean?
What Mr. Henry's asking you is, what would you say, would you still hold this guy up as a hero way back when, like 6 months ago, 9 months ago, a year ago, if you knew the guy was getting into lipstick and a gown?
Well, I don't have any information about the guy getting into a gown. That's.
Well, I'm not. That doesn't matter. But what would you say?
I would have to say it's one thing to go out in a wig and lipstick. I can deal with that. The conservatives of Kern County and the associated conservative organizations that I know of, we can sit down and we can hash out a workable campaign whereby we are behind a guy 100%, even if he is. Dressing as a woman to the extent that I just described. Now, if he's getting into an evening gown, if he is going to bed wearing...
Are you talking about going to bed wearing a woman's panties?
You know, I don't appreciate you, Mr. Danger, going, boy, won't you? You're the one who is the gay.
All right, hold on. Let's not get into a personal attack. He's asking a good question, and you're answering it very well, although it sounds kind of bizarre.
What's bizarre about it?
The idea that you can deal with a guy that's in a wig and lipstick, but now when he gets into a gown,
that takes it to a different level, yeah. You know?
Well, what level does it take it to, sir?
I'm just telling you that if you want me to support a Bradley Manning, I can deal with it if you tell me the guy is dressing in a wig and lipstick. But if... You know what, Mr. Henry, I will say this. I had no idea that I was going to be walking into another buzzsaw here tonight on your show. I wish that I would be warned.
I told you were going to be talking about the Bradley Manning case with Mr. Danger. You know he's a liberal, so this is not anything that's coming as a big surprise, okay?
Well,
you have not answered my question.
All right, Mike, your question was what?
You said an evening gown.
I said it would be hard for us to support him if he's in an evening gown.
What difference does it make, man, if he's a cross-dresser? See, okay, let's take a break. We have a break coming up in a couple of minutes. I just don't understand what difference it makes.
It makes a difference to me, okay? Because if I have to stand in front of a group of conservatives at a fundraiser, or I'm giving a talking points, or I'm doing I'm showing people how to canvass or campaign. I'm going out. I'm doing the best I can to try to resurrect the Republican Party from the toilet that it finds itself in. And I've got to, and now you're telling me, hey, look, Bradley, man, here's a real great opportunity for the conservative movement. And then I find out that the guy is dressed in a wig and fishnet, whatever he's wearing. And now you tell me he's in a gown. I don't know if he's in a gown or not, you know?
Hey, Doug, there's something with your phone.
What?
It's a little muffled.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time, too.
I'm sorry. All I'm saying is I don't know that this guy is in a gown.
And then why do you keep pressing me on the idea that Bradley Manning's wearing an evening gown?
Nobody is pressing you on anything other than to say, and you have been a you've been doing a good job avoiding it.
I have been a doing. That's what you just said. You went, I've been a doing.
All right, hold the line, please.
Don't be a pain in the ass.
What?
Well, if he's going to avoid answering questions because they're a little difficult, and instead he's going to play some juvenile games.
Well, I don't think he's playing a juvenile. I understand the question about the gown. But I don't know you're going to get an answer. I think what you're dealing with here is he's guilty. He's going to go not only to jail, but Bradley Manning will go straight to hell. I really believe it.
What are you talking about?
You heard what I just said.
All right, hold on, and we'll be back with more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I don't know that I'm in any position to talk about where Bradley Manning's going in the hereafter. However, you are right. This thing's over. He is going to find himself on the, he's going to find himself on the bad end of things. And this photograph being leaked, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, back with Doug Danger and Larry Grover. Our number, 800, or 855, rather, 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445. Back here to the Phil Henry Show every night, 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Lots of time left here tonight to talk about these ever-so-important issues. We have with us here Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier and Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County, two guys that we usually have on our show to discuss some of these hot topics, and this is a hot one, the Bradley Manning case. Now, it's as good as over. I think that one can say that this is, you could score one here for the administration. I think Bradley Manning is going to go away. He's not being, he hasn't been charged or convicted with treason, but the man is nonetheless obviously a member of the U.S. military, caught with his hand in the cookie jar, apologizing up one side and down the next, but the damage has been done.
Well, that's just it, Phil. The damage has been done, and as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I can tell you, I'm gay. And as a gay man, as a gay journalist, can I jump in? I know you're gay. Phil knows you're gay. This is something we have an argument about all the time, Larry. I'm not going to get into it with you. I'm a gay man, and you know I'm gay, right? Yes, I know you're gay. I've been listening to you on the Phil Henry program for, you're gay, and you'll always be gay, and I got no problem with you being gay.
But you got a problem with me saying that I'm gay.
Maybe I do.
Yeah, well, you better get over that problem, because I'm gay, and because I'm gay, I was able to figure out this guy Manning was goofier than two coats of paint long before you conservatives did.
Well, oh boy, that's a hot one. What makes you think that we didn't know that guy was, what makes you think we didn't know that guy was a bad apple?
What makes because you guys were out supporting this guy as the poster boy for the Obama administration selectively enforcing this, that, something else, okay?
I knew that that guy was bad. I knew he'd gone bad long before any of you people in the media started discussing it. And
so then why would you guys be so supportive of him? And you know, not that you were supportive of anybody that would harm the country, but there seemed to be a lot of support on the conservative side for Bradley Manning because it was just giving Obama a black eye.
I did not, okay?
You're saying that now because the guy got caught in a wig and a dress.
That's got nothing to do with him in a wig and a dress. I'd rather that he not have been in a wig and a dress, but that's neither here nor there. The fact of the matter is, Obama got away with another one. Well, all right, so you love Bradley Manning? I don't love him. I'm not in a position to say that. I won't say that.
And, okay, I think we've talked enough about the cross-dressing. I don't think personally it should be an issue.
Well, that's fine with me, but ask this guy Grover. Ask this guy Grover what? What do you think about the fact that you're posting? Well, you won't say, so...
We've already asked and answered the question a million times. I don't want to go into it. I personally, whatever that Bradley Manning's doing in his private life, I don't give a damn, man. If he wants to dress as a woman, that's his thing. I don't think it has anything to do with anything. Some people were saying it has to do with his mental health, and I believe that is, I think that's discriminatory. If there's so much cross-dressing going on in the culture, either by straights or gays, I don't think it could possibly be anything reflective of mental health. I think it's probably just a personality idiosyncrasy that some guys have got.
Let me ask you something. I would love to believe you, Mr. Henry, because I have thrown my lot in with Bradley Manning, and there's no question about it. So I would love to believe you, and I'd love... But can you compare it to any other... When you say an idiosyncrasy...
Biting your nails.
Biting my nails? You got to be kidding me, biting my nails.
I don't know. I don't know what it could be compared to. It's a very interesting and unique personality trait or personality choice that some people make. It's not, I don't believe, a part of orientation, because sexual orientation, because like you were saying, straights and gays interchangeably do it. But I don't think it's reflective of a mental health problem. And so anybody who was trying to go with that, I think that's a little wrong. All right, let's take a phone call here. Our number is 855-500-7445 here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 855-500-7445. Don't forget, we're online as well at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com with our podcast. Let me get the call up here, and we'll talk about that later. Okay, this is Don. Don, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show, and you're talking to Doug Danger and to Larry Grover.
Hey, guys, I want to talk about Bradley Manning when he was in the military. I want to talk about him being... cross-dresser or anything, okay?
Could the caller say that again? I'm sorry.
Yeah, speak up a little bit.
And then I want to talk about Bradley Manning, but I don't want to talk about a cross-dress.
You don't want to talk about the cross-dressing?
You understand it?
Yes, I did. I understand it fine.
All right, well, then that tells me something.
What does that tell you?
Yeah, well, it tells me that...
Never mind. The caller is waiting, okay?
I'm just wanting to know.
Restate your question, if you don't mind, sir.
What do you think about Bradley? Now, I don't want to talk about cross-dressing. I want to talk about just his overall mental state. I'm giving up the secret.
His overall mental state giving up the secrets? Is that what you asked?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. I think that he was motivated out of, I believe, a good intentions. And
well, what's that you're listening to, sir? This is Doug Danger.
What's that?
What are you listening to there in the background?
That's the Return of the Mac.
This guy's listening to Return of the Mac, okay.
What's Return of the Mac?
Never mind what song he's listening to.
You want me to... What's your question again?
Oh, God, you guys. All I'm trying about to ask you is, what do you think of Bradley Manning? About the fact that he's not... Never mind about... Turn the music down, do you think, Billy?
What?
Turn the music down!
All right.
I'm asking the question, and either one of you gentlemen can answer. What do you think of Bradley Manning's mental state, even before the day Legendos came out with his cross-dress?
His mental state... I don't have a problem with your song, sir. I like this song, Return of the Mac. I haven't heard it in a long time.
That's great. Can you answer his question?
Who's this?
Phil Henry, the host.
I apologize, Phil. I'm Doug Danger, and I do apologize on behalf of myself and Larry.
I know who you are, and you don't have to apologize about anything. I would ask the caller to please turn the music down, because it obviously is distracting people.
Yeah, what I'm going to do, I'm going to try to get my roommate to do that right now.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I just did.
All right. Larry?
Yeah?
Well, answer the guy's question.
Oh, all right. I think that, yeah, that's a great song. I apologize. I think that Bradley Manning's mental state as it pertains to this issue. I think it's very, very key, but I don't think there's anything wrong with his mental state. I think he might have been motivated by a true patriotic feeling that he's got to get this information out, and the best way to do it would be to a third party.
Yeah, but what do you think about that when it comes to the fact he did it to a foreign guy?
All right, I didn't understand that.
I think I know what you asked. It's Don, right?
My name's Don.
Okay, Don, did you ask, what do you think about him divulging or releasing these files to a man of foreign birth, to Julian Assange?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good one. I think that it shows that Manning felt that perhaps the security of this operation, trying to get this information out, would be compromised, handing it over to an American.
It could have meant, this is Doug Danger, Don, it could mean that Bradley Manning is not a very patriotic individual and has no problem turning over the secrets of the United States to some Swedish, I don't know what this guy Assange, I heard that he was doing things to some underage girl, and he's living on in Hawaii, or where, I think he's living in Sweden or something. Where is he living now? Is he living in the, there's something wrong with the guy, that's all.
That was very clear. Thank you very much. I'm very grateful that I'm here to answer it clearly.
Well, here's what you just sounded like.
No, hold on. You didn't answer that as clearly as I answered the question.
All right. The answer to the question, as I heard it from Larry, Don, was that Mr. Manning felt that perhaps the security would be compromised here in the United States and hence gave it over to a foreign person. I also, what I'm hearing is that, at least from Doug Danger's point of view, is that Mr. Manning, had no respect for this country to the point where he was gladly giving it over to someone of compromised mentality and compromised personality and morality of foreign birth.
Well, I don't know that. I don't want to know about it, you know.
What did you say?
I said I don't know that. I wanted to know about it. That's all I was asked about.
Okay. Thank you very, very, very much, Don.
You just don't want to turn the music down because they told you that.
All right. Thank you very much, both of you gentlemen, Larry Grover and Doug Danger. I appreciate it very much. I apologize to those of you watching on Phil TV and HD that we did have the audio muted. You know, we're back to that, guys. I apologize. I've got to remember to get that. We have to get coordinated in here and get that audio unmuted when we come out of our breaks. I apologize. It's just part of the shakedown here of this first week of broadcasting, podcasting, video. I mean, we've got like 9 million things that we're doing around here. All right, we'll join our panel, Bud Dickman, Margaret Gray, and Robert Leonard when we come back. Still other news to get to. A 70s star, Lisa Robin Kelly, has passed on. That was terrible. She was contending with alcohol problems. That's a sad thing. Lisa Kudrow admits to falling for a Friends reunion rumor. And Judge Judy's son is suing the sheriff for $5 million. We were talking about her last night. Now her son suing a local sheriff for $5 million for defamation. And other stuff coming up here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. The number 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And we'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And so far we have discussed the Bradley Manning situation. We've talked about podcasting. We've talked about a recall on dog food. What we were talking about is just the idea of a student podcast that is all about the personal habits, the personal dating habits of high school teachers.
Yes, but I think the thing that needs to be discussed here, and I know, Robert, you agree, and I don't, I guess you do?
Yeah, I do. What, I don't count?
You count, but...
Yeah, you count.
All right, fine, you count.
What do you want to discuss?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious, Phil, by now. I think there are an awful lot of people. Now, you have brand new listeners, I understand that. But there's a lot of subscribers to your website that are now questioning your competence and your sanity, and I'm saying that in relation to muting the audio.
All right. You know.
Yeah, a lot of people are getting upset.
I'm sorry, I apologize. We mute the audio during our breaks so that we can have a little bit of production privacy around here as we screen phone calls and do other things and converse. That's why I mute the audio during the break. I mean, I have an engineer, Peter. I don't know that he wants his voice heard on the feed.
Well, I don't know what your problem is, whether it's legal, but there are people that are writing now to the show. I get the emails from a lot of them. Dear Margaret, here's one here. What do you have, bud?
Yeah, I got these ones here and here.
Well, don't put it in my nose. Thank you. Here's one here. John F. Denver. What has happened to Phil? Does he know how to turn volume up and down? Oh, my God. Here's one here. Geraldine and Jerusha in Boise, Idaho. Phil has muted the audio again. May he burn. Here's one here.
May he burn.
Yes. That's how strong people are feeling. Here's one here. John L., New York City. I was tuning in tonight to listen to the video cast, blah, 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 blah. It's a bunch of stuff about how much he likes you.
No, but let me see that.
I'm reading it, thank you. Blah, 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 blah.
Here's a good part right there.
You must be about 500 shades of Gloyd that you can't remember to unmute the audio. Thank you.
But blah, 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 all the rest of the stuff.
Not important, Mr. Dan. You got to get the audio unmuted.
I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, for not unmuting. For those of you, and we're wasting a lot of time here because I have radio listeners that don't know what the hell it is we're talking about.
Well, they can hear what's going on, but the people that are listening on the video cast, you didn't unmute the audio. Now, I don't care, Phil. You know me. I can go with any. I'll take to the streets with any of them. Okay?
Yeah, fine. God.
What's with the God?
I'll take to the streets with any of them.
Yeah, nobody backs me up. No one backs me down. But I'm just saying, you've got to keep these people happy, because when you're muting the audio and they are trying to read your lips, it's embarrassing. I've had people say, did Phil just say the F word? Did he just call you an MF? We don't know. He muted everything.
Well, let me just say, ladies and gentlemen, you can be assured that I don't use the F word. I don't use any of that kind of language on the air for obvious reasons. But I would say the number one reason is I would never use that language on the air.
Yeah, you use it in the world.
Yeah, maybe I do. What about it?
Well, I'm trying to make it sound like you're all clean and stuff.
I don't think it does you a world of good, Phil, trying to make it sound like you're all cleaned up. You know, I know, he knows. A lot of the people out there know. She, her.
Who are you talking about?
I'm just saying a lot of people know that you've got filth where words should be.
Yeah, where words ought to be coming out, filth come out.
Where words ought to be coming out, filth come out.
You know what I mean.
No, when it comes to you, no, I don't know what you mean. No, when it comes to you, I apologize to whatever extent I need to apologize to get past this. But yes, folks, I will be sure not to, you know, to do that anymore, to mute the bloody audio. It is our first week here back with a great many of our radio stations, some new stations, a great many of our regular listeners, some new listeners, our BSPs, the people that have been longtime supporters. We just love and appreciate all of you. We really honestly do. And it's great to be here. I you know, the difficulty in producing a show like ours is quite daunting. You know, we've got a lot going on here.
Well, Phil, can I just jump in?
Go ahead.
Oh, well, excuse me, Daddy. You go right ahead.
Yeah, you don't get all pouty about it.
I was saying something.
Go ahead.
Now I forget what I was saying.
Oh, well, now you forget. Go on. I was going to say... Well, you know, never mind.
All right, so what I'm saying is there is an awful lot here on this show that that we do behind the scenes. There's a lot of producing that goes on. There's a lot of just a lot. And there's a lot technical that happens on this show. But as we move forward with your indulgence and with your honest input and the love you have for the grand medium of radio.
Oh, come on.
What?
You're giving a speech, Phil. Can you knock it off?
What did you with you guys with all of a sudden the peanut gallery here, huh?
Are you going to sit there and go, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, but you do it good. Go ahead.
Yes, but yeah. Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Ha, ha, ha.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to say
Is he a scream or what? I'll die.
Yeah, I want to say that I'm Phil Henry.
All right, fine. I'm just trying to be honest with my audience. I'm giving them the,
I know, the lay of the land. That's your... We're simply saying that people would forgive you everything if you could just remember to unmute during a segment on the videocast so people can hear what in the hell it is you are saying. Thank you. I'm going to the toilet.
There's toilet paper on the upper shelf.
Thank you.
I just love how, you know, I just love how it's your show all of a sudden. Yeah, well, there's my statement. You can give a speech.
What? I can't hear you. The door's closed.
Anyway, it's wonderful to be back. Now, to just reiterate, our website is philandryshow.com. Backstage passes can be had there. And then you can understand what it is that these guys are talking about here with the muted segment. I'm sorry, there is a mute button on our TriCaster. We have a beautiful video cast that we do. I mean, it's a three-camera array. We have all kinds of green screen effects, all kinds of virtual studios that we put ourselves in and out of. We're out on the beach one second, we're in a city the next, we're in a studio the next, we're nowhere the next. We get a lot of, Robert, you had a letter, people asking where we get all that, all the video effects.
Now, they want to know where you get all the background movie.
Yeah, what? Where's that?
Those background movies are, you know what that stuff is? See, a lot of times, folks, we show on the green screen, you'll see a car in black and white traveling through the streets of L.A. That's all stock footage that's available on the Internet that is not copyright protected. It's all public domain that you can use. It's stock footage, like the A-bombs blowing up, all that stuff. That's stuff that people use in movies all the time. It's stock footage. It's available.
Free of charge?
Yeah, free of charge. I mean, there's no, it's all just there, man. And that's what that is. And the lady was talking about a film that we show that's a car, I think, driving through L.A. And it, you know, looks kind of cool. So that's what that is. We get it online. And you know, it's available as public domain stuff. Some of the stuff we've got is like cars racing.
Yeah, there's another one with a guy who's dancing. He looks like a jackball.
A guy who's dancing that looks like a jackball.
Oh, I know what that is. That's from that old, that nudie cutie.
Oh, yeah. There used to be these porn movies, you guys, called nudie cuties. Do you guys know what these are? These nudie cuties were apparently films that were done in before the heavy days of pornography, or adult films, I should say. And these nudie cuties, they had these things in theaters, so we used a clip from that. Of some guy dancing, and he had his clothes on, though. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And we'll be back right after this. World famous Phil Henry Show, our final hour here tonight, our fourth night on the air back here, and glad to be with you. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. And I should let you know that we are also on Twitter. We're all over social media. I mean, we got the waterfront covered on social media. We're on Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhenry, twitter.com/philhenryshow. Margaret, I know you are on Twitter as well.
Yes, twitter.com/MargaretGray, G-R-E-Y.
Right. And we're also on Facebook at facebook.com/PhilHenryFans, PHANS. And as I was saying to our pre-show audience tonight, because that sounded, I almost stuttered, didn't I?
Yeah, you're going like, do.
I didn't go do. I went do. We do, well.
Yeah, huh.
We do a video cast. And we talked to our audience before. And as I was saying, it is a build. It's a man. We're like getting our feet wet. I've had a radio show for the last 6 years, but it's almost like we didn't. Let me just put it that way, without going into any further detail. If you want any detail,
you'll probably have to go out with Phil.
Is that right?
Well.
I want to bring on a guy on the line here, Dwayne in Hawaii tonight. Dwayne is listening to us in Hawaii. I think he's listening to us streaming on our New York station, WWRL. It's great to have you with us, Dwayne. Thank you so much for calling. You were calling in specifically about a shark attack?
Yeah, Bill, listen up. First of all, I want to say to everyone here, not listening to your show, and we will bring you back on here in Hawaii some future date.
I hope so too, sir.
And, okay, so the reason why I called you, I have a business here on Kihei in Maui, which the shore of Maui, and they reported in the news, probably you had it too.
And I've asked the gentleman, are you have a radio on?
No, sir, I'm having dinner. I can move to another area if it's too loud.
No, it's fine. I just wondered if that was a radio.
They reported the news here. But a woman was attacked by a shark here off of Maui. An official reopened the Maui beach. And they did reopen the beach at McKenna. And I know McKenna. I've been there my whole life. That's where they had the shark attack. She was also in Palua Beach. The attack occurred about 5 o'clock on Wednesday night.
And she was doing... She was how far out was the lady?
Well, they said about... I'm trying to see, I think they said 50 feet. They heard a lady scream, they put her on a kayak, they brought her back, and, but here's my point, we've had shark attack in everywhere. I've got a business to run, you know, and when they make a big deal out of this, their impact, maybe, you know, our business.
Yeah.
And for me, and for a lot of the business people on Maui, shark attack, they are going to have them. We hope they don't. But they're making a big, big deal out of every little shark attack, you know.
Well, the lady lost her arm, didn't she?
Yes, sir, she did. Lady lost her arm. I lost a leg. No, I didn't lose a leg. I almost lost a leg in the military, you know. I almost lost the lower part of my leg in the military when I was on a transit boat, on a transit barge, and got caught below it right when they amped up the motor. But you don't hear me. I'm not talking about it and making a big thing out of it, you know. My only point...
Well, see, but you didn't lose your leg. You almost lost your leg. This lady lost her arm.
Yeah, but my only point is, I'm trying to run a business, and there are other business people here on Maui and the other islands, you know.
Are you saying that there's an over-reporting of shark attacks?
I'm saying that when they have a shark attack anywhere, there is always a... they glamorize the shark. Not glamorize the shark, but they make a glamour story out of it, like they think it's Jaws, you know?
That's true. Every time they do a shark attack, it's like a Jaws.
Yeah, see, they're always saying another shark attack, someone got their leg bit off, or somebody got an arm, or someone lost some terrible injury, and I'm very, very sorry for that. But I think that's the price you pay when you come to Hawaii, a beautiful Hawaii, and I love Hawaii more than life itself. I would die for Hawaii, and I played at University of Hawaii football, played on the Rainbows.
Yeah. What position?
Well, that's not important, what position. I'm talking about a shark and a lady losing an arm.
I understand, sir, but you mentioned playing football.
I'm just saying I played football at University of Hawaii because I love my state, I love my school. I would never live anywhere else. And when we depend upon the tourist trade, you see, and the news media, especially on mainland, will report about a shark, and they say this and that and a whole lot, many, many other things, Bill, like you always say, all kinds of wrong, you know?
Yeah. So I if I can interrupt you here, Dwayne.
Go ahead.
The shark attack on this lady, and for those of you who may not be aware, it was off of, 2 miles About 2 miles of beach in the resort community of McKenna reopened at noon after lifeguards and firefighters surveying the ocean found no sign of sharks in the area. This was at Palua Beach, where the attack occurred 5 o'clock Wednesday. A 20-year-old woman, this poor girl, she was taken to Maui Memorial Medical Center in critical condition. The spokeswoman there said Thursday the hospital had no further information to release. It wasn't clear what type of shark bit the woman. We do know now, I think there's enough education about sharks to conclude that sharks don't want to eat people.
Yeah, see, that's a good point there, Phil. That shark is not going to eat a human. The shark does not want to eat the human. And I think that more of that information, and I think the state of Hawaii should be way more proactive saying that.
Right. Well, I mean, the state of Hawaii, it has, obviously, they do release bulletins and they have information on sharks, shark attacks, safety for swimmers and so forth because of the volume of tourists that you have visiting your state. But I don't know how much into it they want to get. Are they going to say the sharks don't want to eat people?
Yeah, I think you need to say, because look at, you know, every time there's a shark, the news media is going crazy. They go crazy. They say, shark bit a woman's leg off, bit her arm off, and the next thing you know, my business suffers.
This is an economic question, and I understand that. It does remind me a little bit of the movie Jaws, because that's exactly what they were talking about when they when the shark attack occurred. You know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Did you see the film?
I don't remember. I don't think I saw. I know the movie. I know the movie is very famous. You know.
You didn't see about how they want to shut everything down?
I don't remember any of that, no.
All right. Tell you what, let's take a break here. We're talking with Dwayne, and we're talking about a shark attack off of Maui that cost a woman her arm. It may very well cost her life. This poor kid, according to this news article, she is in critical condition, and that's not good. And they had no other information to release. As the evening wore on, as the information was coming out on that. But a shark attack on Maui, a 20-year-old woman losing her arm. We're talking to this gentleman about the beaches being closed and the possible effect that it had on the businesses in the area. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show here, and our number again, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, The Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here. The world famous Phil Henry Show. 855-500-7445. And we're talking here with, this is Dwayne calling us from Maui in Hawaii. And the discussion so far is concerning this lady who was attacked by a shark on Wednesday night in Hawaii off of Maui. 50 feet of, she was out about 50 feet from the beach.
Yeah, the news band away. Law enforcement I spoke with said about that 50 feet.
From the beach?
Yes, sir. And
but your complaint is that
they glamorized the shark attack, and this cost money to the merchant and everybody else here on Maui. You know, I had a cousin who had been attacked by a shark on one of the other islands. It was on Lanai. He had working for a construction company that were doing a salvage as well as dredging.
Right.
And my cousin was attacked in 4 feet of water by a thresher shark. And it really tore him up, you know. It tore him up. And I was back at work. And my father had a restaurant back at work. Within a half hour, and I don't know, my cousin, at that time, I didn't know, he was almost dead, I think he did die, but they didn't find, and I said this, and this is horrible, Mr. Henry, they found maybe, like, half of him.
Oh my God, we just got done talking about how sharks don't...
No, a shark does not eat human, but they do try to find out what they're eating.
And there was only half this poor man.
Yeah, this shark
marine biologist from the university said this is not a very perceptive shark. It might not have been a very smart shark because it didn't. It had to keep. And I love my cousin Junior was his name, but it kept on going till it figured that's not for me at all. No way. And
so it this shark ate half of your cousin.
Pretty much, yeah. But my point is, I was right back at work within a half hour at my father's restaurant. They want to close the beach. And my father said, no, you can't do that.
Even though this was a relative?
Yeah, even though Junior, he was a friend of mine. Junior was a friend of mine. And my dad knew Junior. And it said, well, they ate half of Junior. The shark, you know, ate up half of Junior. I said, I understand that. I get that. I'm clear on that. I'm clearer on that than you guys are. And a policeman said, Junior, they ain't but half of him left. We said, well, I got money to, I got things to do.
So your point is there's too much sentimentality or something, right?
Way too much of a sentimentality, yes, sir. Way too much. My own cousin, you know.
That's a very horrible story, sir. I'm sorry to hear that.
Frank?
Oh, we got Frank Gray on the line?
Yes. Frank is on the phone, and Frank wants to talk to you, Dwayne. And my condolences as well to your family, Dwayne.
Oh, thank you.
Frank Gray, how you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm better than Custer, young man. How are you doing?
Good.
Dwayne, my name is Frank Gray. I'm an attorney. I'm an entertainment attorney.
Yes, sir.
I do not do any kind of civil litigation. I don't do any kind of... But your cousin's story interests me. How old was she?
Well, she thought it was a he, sir.
Yeah. Hold on for a minute, Frank, will you?
Why are you always putting me on hold?
I have to tell you that Mr. Gray, Dwayne, suffers from something called gender confusion. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't.
He, when he means to say he, he'll say she. And when he means to say she...
Yeah, Dwayne, this is Margaret. I'm married to Frank, and I'm able to negotiate it very well, but you just have to understand that he means she means he.
He means she? So he's not saying that I'm a lady or Junior a lady?
No, he knows that Junior is a man, but he calls him her because of an untreated STD from when he was young.
Oh, you got like a syphilis bug or something?
Well, it's worse than that. It's okay. I don't know.
Yeah, just let me do it, Phil. As Phil said, it's okay.
Yeah.
You still there, Dwayne?
Yeah.
Okay, Frank, sorry. We had a technical problem here.
Yeah, sure. I notice you put me on hold every time I hear her.
No, you, Frank.
So, go ahead, Frank.
Okay, Dwayne, this is Frank Gray. I'm an attorney. I am not a litigator, but I do know the law. Now, your cousin... His name Junior, is that right?
Yes, sir, my cousin Junior.
All right.
But he's not with us anymore.
All right, I apologize. She's not here any longer, but she was... What was she doing?
Well, he was in the water doing a dredging job for a construction company in Lanai.
Oh, she was doing construction, okay. Now, was she married?
Yes, sir, he was.
Okay, and what was her wife's name?
Wife, I think, was Celia.
Okay, and was he at home or was he out shopping, do you know?
Are you talking about who?
I'm talking about her wife. All right, where was he?
He was,
Remember.
Yeah, he was shopping for groceries.
Okay, doing what any wife would do.
Yes, sir.
All right, so he's out, and was he shopping at all for clothing?
Clothing?
Yeah, was he going out, as any wife would? Was he looking at skirts, brassieres, panties?
I'm going to let Dwayne go.
Hey, whoa, hold the phone there, sunshine. What do you mean you're going to let Dwayne go?
No, hold on, I'm okay. I got a little backward. He was shopping for... She was shopping for panties. Man, I don't feel good right now, but if I take a minute, I catch my breath.
Yeah, okay, you do that, all right?
Yeah, you bet.
Well, wait a minute. Where's she going? I was talking to her a moment ago, and I don't think that's fair, Phil.
Look at Frank. You know, the man's undergone a shock, this terrible accident. You know, he's talking to us about shark attacks. He's remembering his cousin getting eaten, half of his cousin.
That's rough. What I was trying to ascertain is her cousin, she said that her cousin was doing some dredge work for a construction company. And I was asking if she was married because her wife would be entitled to sue under a little-known Hawaii law that allows the spouse, and this is a tribal law, this goes back before Hawaii became a state and before it was a republic. This was a law of the Kingdom of Hawaii.
Really? What is it?
Well, it has something to do with possession of the 12 coconuts, and I don't know what that means, but if you're in possession of your coconuts, which sounds, Margaret's always kidding me, he said to me one night, he goes, what did you say, honey?
I said, if you're in possession of your coconuts, does that mean you're nuts?
All right, that's what he said. And I said, I think it has something to do with whether or not you're able to make babies, you know, to be perfectly graphic. But the 12 coconuts is an old tribal law in Hawaii. Now, if she is married and her wife is out shopping, and let's say he's out buying a skirt.
Okay, look, I got to take a break, okay?
Well, what a pain in the ass you are. I've got all of this stuff that I want to do.
All right, I got to take a break, man.
What's the problem?
I can't sit and listen to that indefinitely. Are you out of your mind? He, she, he. It just drives me nuts.
Once you get used to it.
Well, I don't think I ever will get used to it. So her wife, and he's out shopping for panties, and oh my God. No wonder that poor Dwayne guy, he called in thinking he was just going to talk about business and this terrible shark attack. And the next thing you know, this guy he's losing his mind listening to Frank.
You know something, Phil? There are worse things in this world than listening to Frank.
I don't mean to put him down, you know?
Yeah, Mr. Gray's a nice guy.
I know he's a nice guy. I'm not saying he ain't a nice guy. I'm just saying that listening to that, you ought to be talking to him, okay, instead of sitting there on your ass picking your toenails.
Well?
I'm telling you, it's a lot different. If you're sitting there, you guys are sitting there watching me, you, Robert, with your hands behind your head like you're taking a nap.
Well, I'm getting bored.
Oh, are you getting bored? Well.
Don't take it personally, Phil. It's dragging a little bit.
What is?
The show.
Well, now, ain't that just too bad? It's dragging a little bit. Am I not keeping you guys entertained? Is that the problem here?
Oh, well, look at the sarcasm.
Yeah, it's not very becoming, Mr. Henry.
Well, I'm sorry it ain't very becoming. I'm sitting here trying to get the show done, and I'm not here to entertain you. So put your shoe back on. Would you put your shoe on, bud? Because it's grossing me out, man.
Sorry.
Well, you're sitting there picking your toenail, and I'm trying to get a radio show done, and you're giving me the peanut gallery version of what's going on. I don't need that, okay?
Sorry.
I'm just telling you, I don't need it. And, you know, Frank Gray is, yeah, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but you ought to be sitting, the point that I'm making is you ought to be sitting where I'm sitting, talking to a guy like that.
And what do you mean, guy like that?
Just never mind, Margaret. Talking to a guy like that. Who's got stuff jacked up in his head about what's who he, she, it, and everything else. All right, folks. The Phil Hendry Show is online at philhendryshow.com. You ought to, you think listening to this is nuts? You ought to watch it. You ain't seen nothing in your life like what you would see if you watch the video cast of this here show. So, anyway, we are at 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445 is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And, of course, philhendryshow.com. Back with more news and views and all that there. And we love you.
Yeah.
We do.
Keep on running.
Welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show. What is that, Bud Slayer?
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome back here, and philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445. Margaret?
Yes, the news we've got is of a serial killer that the FBI has released the interrogation tape on. His name is Israel Keyes. He committed suicide in federal custody in December. He is supposedly responsible for 11 murders.
Can I interrupt you?
What?
Are you, like, jazzed about this?
Yeah, no kidding. You're all like...
I think it's fascinating, yes. Why?
You're all, like, quivering and stuff.
Well, if I am quivering, tell him to look somewhere else.
Bud. Well, yeah, you are. You look like you're all excited.
I mean, yeah, you're all like, ooh.
I don't think I came in here and went, ooh. It's interesting. It's fascinating. I think everyone should be aware of these serial killers. There's no question.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you, but you're all...
What do you mean I'm all? Why don't you talk like an adult and not like a teenage girl?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you can't all.
Hey, pal, just back off. You're sitting there with the, ooh, you know, I mean, you're not saying that, but you're quivering, you're smiling, you're looking at me.
Yes, it's exciting to know the whereabouts of these people.
And,
yes, Robert, you did anticipate, and you're right. And, I don't think it's wrong of me to wish that I'd known him.
To wish that you'd known him.
That doesn't mean anything.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Did you want to have sex with him?
Ow! Tell him to shut that up.
Bud, watch it. Well, what would you mean you wish you would have known him?
I would like to have sat down and... I'm a journalist. Does anybody know that? I think I've made that clear.
Yeah, you're a journalist, but you're like, man, I'd like to sit down with him. You know, I saw a little bit of froth.
You saw froth where?
Right at the edge of your mouth, there was a little bit of spittle. I don't know if...
Oh, my God. You know something, Phil? If we weren't on a federally regulated facility right now, like a radio station, where there are no... If there were no bans against language, that would be out the door first. And then comes the violence. And I've got just enough in me to take this knitting needle...
All right, take it easy for a second. All I'm asking is, what do you mean by you wish you would have known him?
As a journalist, I would have wanted to interview him.
Is that it, though?
No, that's not it.
Then what else?
Well, now who's quivering? The two of you are sitting there going, ooh, what else?
What else? You wanted to interview him as a journalist. You wished that this guy, Israel Keyes, so I can bring people up to speed, Israel Keyes was wanted in, he was arrested using the debit card of one of his victims. And that was purely by chance, because this guy, this Israel Keyes guy, was really smart, wasn't he?
He was very smart. He used, he flew into the contiguous United States from Alaska, used an automobile, traveled about with an automobile, went state to state. So he was not close to home. He was very, very smart, which most serial killers work close to home. He did not. He left Alaska.
And worked, and drove town to town.
I didn't say town to town.
Well, that's what your point is.
What you're saying is, but I'll do it. He was driving from state to state.
Yes, carrying the bodies with him from so he would kill someone in one state and then bury them someplace else.
Yeah.
That is pretty smart, because like you said, most serial killers hunt at home. He was very, what they call, organized?
Yes, very organized serial killer. He had a kill kit, but he didn't keep it with him. He kept different kill kits.
What's that?
Do I have to answer every question he asked?
But a kill kit is it's like what a serial killer uses. He has his own little box of goodies. It's got knives, maybe it has a gun, maybe it has duct tape, maybe it has a rope. Okay?
I'm scared.
Oh, God.
You knock it off. So, yeah, so this guy had kill kits.
Yes, but he had them in different states. He had them in different locations, so he didn't carry them with him. He had one in upstate New York. He had another, I believe, in Pennsylvania. Very organized. It's just fascinating. And he did commit suicide in December.
And that would indicate what?
That would indicate that he knew... He had lost control of the situation. He was in custody, but a lot of serial killers, a lot of psychopaths think they're still in control, even though they're in custody. He'd lost control of the situation. He had given up too much information. He didn't want to give up anymore. This is just me guessing. And used the last form of control that he had, which was suicide.
So this is very interesting what Margaret's saying, because serial killers
psychopaths commit suicide. Everybody uses the term coward because they think that, it helps us. It helps us release our anger at these people when we say, oh, that guy was nothing but a coward. And it's true. They are cowards. They would much... But really what they're saying when they commit suicide is not so much I'm... They are saying that I'm scared, but they're also saying one other thing. They're saying I'm going to maintain control of this even in death. You'll never have control. I will. Because that's what it's all about for these guys. That's what it's all about. Control, control, control. That's why they're so coy in these interrogations. I watched the interrogation of this guy, and he was a real cute guy, wasn't he?
Well, he was leaking out the information and laughing, and he was very,
Yeah?
Nothing.
He was very what, like attractive or something?
I didn't say he was attractive. I found him interesting.
What is it with you? What are you talking about?
Nothing. Forget it.
What is it with you? You find the guy, this guy's a butchering serial killer, and you think he's sexy?
He was compelling. I'm sorry he killed himself before he could meet me.
Oh, yeah. Now, ma'am, as well, you all do. All merry like a serial killer and everything.
Would you put that in English, please? Because I didn't hear that.
What?
You are like...
I said, what you want to do, marry the guy? That's what a lot of you people do.
You people, and you're the one that's black.
Yeah, well, I mean, you people women.
Yeah, but that's racist.
No, it ain't racist. It's sexist. You shouldn't say that, okay? You people meaning what?
By women.
Well, I didn't understand a thing you said because you're all...
I said, do you want to marry the guy?
I can't now. He's dead.
No, but he's saying, did you want to marry him when he was alive?
No, I did not want to marry him. No.
Move in with him?
All right, move in with him.
Oh, great. Did you want to move into his jail cell?
Phil, you know what? Talking to you three clods, I might as well be talking to three bricks. For all the intelligence and personality the three of you guys put out, I might as well be talking to three dirt clods. Thank you.
And you're going to the bathroom?
Yes, I am.
Paper towels.
Where's the toilet paper?
Never mind the toilet paper. I don't want to have these discussions anymore, okay? We got a new show. We're on a new platform. We got new stations. We got a new audience. I'm not going to have any discussions on the air about where the toilet paper is, okay?
Get in the back drawer. What do you think it just said to you, man?
Never mind. So there you go. That's the story of Israel Keyes. That guy was a real cute one, but he did. He took his own life in December in federal custody. Now, you know, do you think maybe we can get a handle on this, guys? I'm loath to criticize our hardworking law enforcement, and I mean that. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm loath to criticize the very hardworking people who are inundated and overwhelmed with all kinds of cases. But good Lord, this guy already a very, very smart perpetrator, a serial murderer. They think 11 deaths that they attribute to him, maybe more. And I did. You can go online on YouTube and also on the FBI website, and you can watch the entire interrogation of this guy. And he's playing it close to the vest. He's screwing around. He's laughing, you know. But I just, there's got to be a way that you can keep an eye on these guys that they don't off themselves. Because this cat in a courtroom having to face the music, you know, I mean, this is important. And certainly it would be important if there are people who are missing. I don't know. I shouldn't.
You talk about what?
I'm saying if there's some missing people and there's families that want to know where their you know, loved ones are, this guy could give it up for not a reduction sentence, but for that's what they did with Gary Ridgway. And I personally think that was a smart thing. They said to Gary Ridgway, we will not pursue death if you tell us where all the bodies are. And he did. Ridgway gave up every location of everyone that he could remember. And there are a lot of families, man, that, you know, benefited from that. At least they found, you know, their loved one.
Benefited? That guy killed him in the first place.
I know, but I'm saying...
Yeah, well, I killed him, but at least he then told him where to put him.
That's great.
All right, so it sounds bad he killed him, but that he told him where he put him. I'm just telling you that it's a way that prosecutors have of gaining information, gaining confidence. But you can't do it if the guy kills himself. Okay. You listen to the Phil Henry Show here at philhenryshow.com every night, folks, online as well. We're digital. We're analog. We're the whole damn thing. 855-500-7445. Phil Henry Show returning right after these here messages.
Here's
toilet paper.
Welcome back here on the Phil Henry Show. Wrapping up here on this Thursday night, we want to thank all of our guests we thank Dwayne from calling in from Hawaii. We had Larry Grover. We had Doug Danger. We had a whole slew of people, and we do appreciate that. Our number, of course, 855-500-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com. That is philhenryshow.com. What was the story here? This is a cyclist. This, I thought, was a pretty interesting story about a cyclist who fatally struck a pedestrian in San Francisco. I know, living in San Francisco and reporting on a lot of issues that happen up there, as we had him on last night in our last hour. He's back at Excelsior's there with his wife, Emeralda, I'm sorry, Dean. Dean, do you know this case?
I do, Phil. This is... Emeralda is on stage right now with Bob Puckett, who's a great...
I'm not talking about your wife's band. I'm talking about the...
Oh, the cyclist in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know a little bit about it. This is a bicyclist who fatally struck a pedestrian in San Francisco, and they did sentence him to community service and probation. He pled guilty to felony... I want to read this right... Vehicular? That's right, yeah. Vehicular. I've never seen that word. He pled guilty to felony vehicular.
Vehicular? You've never seen the word vehicular?
I guess I haven't, because I'm not saying it too good, am I?
No.
All right. And I'm distracted, Phil. See, we got a new trumpet player, but it's the same disaster. Felony vehicular manslaughter.
Are you kidding me?
Please don't yell on the phone, Phil.
Hey, wanna shut up?
Here's this guy again. Watch this.
Hey, look at Dean.
Oh, no, hold on. Watch. Hey, like I told you last night, I ain't gonna shut up. Okay, what do you want?
Did you agree to come on the show tonight here in this segment?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Can you give me a little bit of your attention instead of your bumming on the horn player again?
I know. Well, we've got a new horn player, Bill Puckett. You've heard of him, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
Wow.
What? Who's Bill Puckett?
Who's that?
This is Margaret, Dean. I think I know music.
Oh, yeah. Margaret, you know, I've been asking you, can you give her some lessons or teach her something, because she...
I'd be happy to try with Emeralda. I think she doesn't want my help.
Yeah, I know, but I told her she's a disaster. She's a walking disaster, and I said she's got to get some help. If we've got a snowball's chance in hell of getting her in the studio before Christmas and cutting those Zachary and Heim sides that, you know, they wrote especially for her.
Yes, I know.
All right, well, she's going to have you or somebody sit down with her and teach her something about how to sing, because she sounds like a cat that you are continually running its tail over with a tractor.
You know, can I ask a question at this juncture?
Yeah.
Why would you even put her up on stage if she sounds that bad?
Because I think she's got... If we get rid of this horn player...
No, Dean, grow up, okay?
Excuse me?
Grow up! You've had... This is the third horn player you've put in this group. This guy... What's his name?
It's Bill Puckett. I've heard the name. I've never heard the playing.
Well, I'm hearing the playing right now, and it's about as bad as the last guy. The last guy was so rotten, I put his name out of my mind, and he was hitting on my wife. In fact, I think he was sleeping with her.
And you don't know his name?
No, I blacked it out.
Hey, I said to shut up.
Here we go. Watch this.
Wait, come on, Dean.
No, this is fun. You shut up. I told him.
Yeah, that's real adult. So, getting back to this bicyclist, as you call him, this
bicyclist.
No, it's not a it's bicyclist. That's what it's called.
Hold on. Yeah, way to do it, baby. I got to give her encouragement.
Okay, getting back to the bicyclist. Man, I'm going to kill somebody.
I'll do it. Dean, are you there? This is Margaret.
Hold on for a minute. Yeah, baby. See, I just want to give her a little encouragement. Let me move up closer.
He always does this. Why do we talk to him?
Because he has the story.
Well,
sorry, guys. Look at me, baby. Look in my eyes as you sing. Look. Yeah. Yeah. All right, okay, that's good. I'm aroused.
You don't? I thought you didn't like her whispering.
I don't.
All right, so the bicyclist... Oh, God. The bicyclist...
Boy, look at you, Henry. You got some kind of epilepsy with that, don't you? Anyway, this guy got probation. Now, after striking a plea deal to avoid jail time, Charles Bouchier, he's 37 years of age, was sentenced to 1,000 hours of community service and 3 years of probation for the death of 71-year-old Suchi Hui last year. So that's what a 71-year-old man's life is worth in San Francisco, 1,000 hours of community service. Oh, shut up! I told you I'm not going to shut up. You know what I'm saying, Phil? Phil?
Yeah. That's a good point.
What's up with you?
I don't know. There's too much going on here. I got her singing. The guy's telling you to shut up. You're going to get clocked if you don't watch it.
Hey. Let me tell you something. Anybody takes a swing at me.
All right, the guy just hit me.
It's the same thing that happened last night. I'm putting everybody on notice. You know, if I get one more assault, I'm going to call the cops. Okay.
I didn't do it.
Yeah, I didn't do it either.
I'm just telling you. The next time I have him on the air and he gets belted by a patron in a club somewhere because he's yapping his guts loose, talking about Emeralda and her rotten voice, what he ought to do, if he had 5 cents worth of brains, is just tell her the truth. Baby, you can't sing.
Phil, you can't say that to a woman of Emeralda's ego and temperament. Now, she feels she has a viable recording career ahead of her. And I think Dean owes it to her to see it through.
To see through what? What is he going to see through?
You've got to at least give her a chance to go out and take a stab at it.
He just got done saying she stinks. He just got done telling us that she stinks so bad that you need to come in and save the situation.
Well, we've got till Christmas.
Well, what are you going to do between now and Christmas? Work a miracle?
That's what he's asking me to do. I'll try. I don't think I can. I agree with him.
So you do agree with him that she stinks?
Yes.
Then why are you doing it? Oh, wait a minute. I get it. Money.
Well, give the man a cigar.
Finally figured that one out.
Money.
Oh, well, I guess you work for free, don't you? You work. You don't eat, do you?
Margaret, you don't need the bread. Frank is filthy rich.
The fact of the matter is, Mama wants a little of her own. You understand?
Well, I think you're doing a disservice. If you're giving her the idea, you know, that she can sing...
She doesn't think she needs the lessons. She thinks she is God's gift to singing. Dean knows the truth, that she's as rotten as the day is long. She can barely carry a tune.
So he knows that it's an impossible task?
Pretty much.
And he's gladly paying you anyway?
He's paying me to convince her that he's doing everything that he can... And finally, sometime around the first of the year, excuse me for saying this, he gets laid. And that...
Well, you put me on, man. Yeah.
Wait a minute. He gets laid.
Yes. You knew that, didn't you?
I didn't know anything about anything.
Dean has been cut off entirely by Emeralda until she gets into the studio and records. Until then, he's a monk.
You're kidding me. How long's this been going on?
About 3 years.
Wow. I mean, that's just flat cruel.
Well, so he's doing everything in his power. He's sweating. He's grinding. He's paying. He's probably invested about $30,000 just to get laid by that. Well, I don't find that funny.
I find it hysterical. The way you just put it, he's invested 30 grand just to get laid by that.
That's his wife.
Oh, well, ain't that something, his wife? I know it's his wife. And guess what? Better him than me. Can you dig that? All right, Dean, good luck, brother. Don't say we didn't warn you, because I think we did warn you. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Pacific, 10 o'clock Eastern, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. That backstage pass... Watch us on the pre-show, all kinds of truth. Woo!
So you didn't know?
No, I did not know.
Corner.